The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst.
You want some bad news, Michael?
No.
What are you asking me?
You're the guru of the gray matter. I figured if anybody had it, you'd have the answer.
I can't give you any direction.
I think I'm going to have to change this channel. I'm sorry.
You're completely wrong.
I refuse to be wrong on two calls in a row.
Tell me I'm spot on or tell me I'm crazy as I'll get out.
I have no idea.
I have a six-month-old, so we'll be raising him according to Dr. Ray.
Talk about being a winner.
So, you want my question?
You ain't making any sense.
You're absolutely right. I just needed confirmation.
So what are you going to do about it, Dawn?
I'm calling you.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
No doubt my mother loved me very, very much. My mother was Italian, Catholic. And she was pretty good at getting her point across without doing it directly. Kind of like Marie Barone on Everybody Loves Raymond. I was in my 20s and probably wasn't going home to see Mom as much as I should have been. Much as Mom wanted me to, which would have been about every 8 hours. So I called her up one day. I said, Mom, how you doing?
Not so good. I'm just so weak.
I go, Ma, why are you so weak?
I haven't eaten in 2 weeks.
You haven't eaten in 2 weeks, Mom. Why?
I didn't want my mouth to be full of food in case you called.
Yeah, she was good that way at getting across her point without hitting me in the head with it. Nice to have you with me. It's Dr. Ray Guarendi here. The program, The Doctor Is In. I would very much like to have you on the program with your calls, your questions about life, your comments about life, your helpful comments for others, your questions about things you might not understand in psychology, even in faith. I'm not as good as some of those guys that really are knowledgeable in the whole faith area in terms of reasoning and understanding. Jimmy Akin, Colin Donovan, there's a whole bunch of them. But I can maybe offer a few thoughts here and there, so I would very much like to talk to you. I already got somebody calling in, and that's great, and hope she stays. Typically what happens is when somebody calls in, people have a various patience level. Now, some people will stay the whole program. God bless them. I can't believe they do it, but they do. Others, if you don't go to them next, as soon as they call, they're gone. So it varies from person to person. And I would wonder, too, if some people just have to go. They have to go somewhere else. They were in the car. They called, usually on a smartphone. And then, isn't that interesting that they call on a smartphone to get me, which is sometimes dumb advice. So that's a little bit of an incongruous there. All right. 877-573-7822. 877-577-57 equal is the number to call to get onto the program. Very much want to hear from you. Okay, look here at what I am holding up. You see it? Oh, it's the radio. Okay, I am holding up a quarter. Now, roughly, just slightly smaller than the average host. Not me as a host, but Eucharistic host. When I was in the evangelical world, one of the arguments against the Eucharist was, you have senses. Can't you see that's a white wafer? Are you denying your senses, your eyes, your taste? And even in the Catholic world, if you believe some of the surveys, they're a little scary. The number of people who believe that the consecrated host is the body and blood of Christ is still reasonably high. It's 60, 70, 75%. It's not one third. That was a very tricky survey. But there are many, I mean, those who perhaps don't even go to Mass anymore, which is about 80% of self-identified Catholics, who don't probably believe that that Eucharist is actually a miracle left for his church by Christ himself. I'm going to try, I don't know if you can see this, so I won't be embarrassed. I'm going to try to bend this quarter in half. I can't budge it. I absolutely can't budge it. Now, I'm looking at it. It's about a 16th of an inch thick. And why can't I bend this in half? This is solid metal. That's why I can't bend it in half. No, it's not. This quarter is 99.9999999999% space. This quarter's all space. If you distilled it down to the actual matter in it, you couldn't see it. So, gentlemen, next time your wife asks you, do these pants make my backside look big? You say, no, honey, your backside is all space. Everything around us is space. It is not solid. It is space. But, Dr. Ray, it doesn't seem like space. It seems solid. Well, there's a reason for that. And the reason has to do with the atomic substance of matter. This quarter, if I put it down here on the studio table, it's sitting still, at least according to my senses it is. When in fact, if this quarter were at the equator, it'd be moving approximately 25,000 miles per hour as the Earth rotates. The Earth is moving around the sun faster than that. The solar system is moving through the galaxy faster than that, and the galaxy is vibrating through the universe even faster than that. One scientist offered this estimate of how fast, for example, this quarter would be moving. If you tally up all the different speeds, it's approximately 550 miles per second. But that's not the most mind-numbing thing about this quarter. This quarter is composed of countless trillions of atoms. The subatomic parts in these atoms, these countless trillions of atoms, protons, electrons, neutrons, as well as a whole bunch of other subatomic parts. I asked a PhD physicist once on one of my programs, how fast are the electrons in the outer orbits of these countless trillions of atoms vibrating? He said they are vibrating at approaching the speed of light. What is the speed of light? 186,000 miles per second. Can you comprehend anything the size of this quarter having countless trillions of subatomic parts vibrating? Okay, let's say they're not even vibrating, approaching the speed, maybe just half the speed of light. Okay, 93,000 miles per second. What is all this saying? It is saying that when you look at this quarter, you have absolutely no idea of what you are looking at. You think you see something that is solid and still. You are completely wrong. It is not solid, and it is mind-numbingly moving. Everything you look at is not what is. Your senses only perceive a minuscule part of what's around us. Where you sit right now, radio waves are coming through you. You can't perceive those. Why? Well, you don't have the right equipment to pull them in. You can't perceive them at all, but they're there. Photons by the countless trillions are coming from the sun. They're going through your body. You know anything about that? There are millions upon millions of little microscopic critters all over your skin. Sorry about that. That's probably making some of you pretty squeamish. You perceive any of that? You cannot perceive accurately anything that's around you. You can only perceive what your senses allow you to perceive. So when you look at that Eucharistic host and you say to yourself, well, the church says it is our Lord, I'll believe it, I guess, because the church says so. But I'll tell you what, it sure looks like a wafer to me. Well, of course it does. But you have no idea what you are looking at. Remember that the next time you struggle to say, oh boy, the God of the universe? There? Remember the quarter. And one other side argument. Very clever people said to me, you know, if you poured arsenic into the wine and you drank it, you would die. That is true. Because the priest does not consecrate the arsenic. All righty, got some good calls up there. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL.
This program brought to you in part by the town of Ave Maria, Florida.
Ave Maria, a big kind of small town. A golf cart friendly, ride your bike everywhere kind of town with something for everyone. Resort style amenities, two golf courses, shopping, and dining in our town center. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at the core of the community and a wide range of homes to meet your family's needs. Visitors are welcome. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. Ave Maria, a big kind of small town.
Every year, couples who go on the Ave Maria Radio's Good News Cruise testify how their marriages are revitalized and transformed. When we said cabins are filling fast, we meant it. The 2025 cruise is sold out. But it's the Good News Cruise, not the Bad News Cruise. So the 2026 Good News Cruise is planned and taking orders. There'll be new special and surprise guests and familiar ones from Ave Maria Radio, as well as Father Michael Schmitz and Father Joe Krupp. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the travel tab to find out more.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You remember the time I said on the air, go to confession. And when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. And a man wrote to me, he says, you know, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, oh, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
They are the unwanted. They are the unloved. 65 million dead. They are the aborted unborn. A few managed to be buried, the only act of love they ever received. Honor the victims of abortion, Saturday, September 14th, the National Day of Remembrance. There are over 200 services all over the U.S., some at the very graves of aborted babies. For all services, see abortionmemorials.com, abortionmemorials.com.
You're listening to the least worst of The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. So please, no calls at this time.
Very nice to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Program The Doctor Is In, 877-573-7825, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Co-production. EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Ave Maria Radio. Communications with Andrew Krucek, producer, man, board operator, and Eric Dumont, call screamer, there in Ann Arbor. Alexandra, that's a pretty name. From St. Louis, Missouri, St. Louis Mo. Hi, Alexandra.
Hi again, how are you?
I'm fine. Hi again, huh? Let's see,
I'm
wait.
I'm a 19-year-old.
I was just going to say, I remembered. You're 19. I remember that. What, yeah. Your dad watching all kinds of news and everything, and he's just seeing everything gone to heck?
Pretty much. So my dad, he's a great dad. I love him so much. But starting about 5 years ago, he began thinking very negatively about the world and the people in it. I think one of the factors is that he's now over the age of 60. He's been working his whole life and still not retired. I hear him say a lot that he wants to retire, but unfortunately he can't. My family didn't have the best financial situation when I was growing up. But I do know that my parents are moving in a good direction with better financial opportunities. So I do hope and pray that, God willing, that's going to get better. But I believe the main reason why he's very negative is, frankly, because that's all he focuses on. Like you said, he watches quite a bit of news.
That's bad news.
Yeah. we're a very conservative family, and I won't get political. But I know the outcome of the last election didn't help with his negative thinking. It was also about 5 years ago where he downloaded TikTok, which I don't like what it and other social media platforms promote, so I stay off in there. But my dad definitely feeds into it. He watches a lot of political videos, and he'll get into arguments, mostly name-calling arguments with people in the comment section. And I don't think he quite grasps the fact that when you watch these videos and comment on them, the algorithm is going to keep recommending more of the same videos.
Oh, yeah, they're going to just pump that stuff at you.
Yeah, because that's what it thinks you like. So now his feed is just full of all these negative things, and now he thinks that that's all the world is. He says...
Does he realize that? Does he realize what he's doing to himself?
I try to tell him, but I don't know if he understands. He says, and he just said the other day, that people are stupid and that he's already accepted the fact that the world has gone to dust. America has fallen. It's not going to get better, and he's just going to sit and die. He is Catholic. He was actually the Catholic one in the relationship when him and my mom were dating, and he told my mom, who was extremely atheist, that she had to convert if she wanted to marry him. Now I joke around and say that my mom is more Catholic than the Pope. Anyway, he does go to Mass every Sunday, but I'd say that that's the extent of his practice, and even at Mass, he focuses on the negative. After every Mass, he'll say things like, the reader today was so slow, the homily was too long, there was a kids screaming the whole time. These parents today can't control their kids. Communion took too long because you have these pompous people who think they're better than everyone kneeling to take the host. The priest took too long cleaning the chalices.
You don't argue with him, do you? You don't say, well, Dad, you know, people are people, and sometimes that happens, and you don't do that, do you?
I try not to.
Good. Just keep asking him certain questions.
Yeah.
Example. Dad, what are you there at Mass for? Dad, why do you watch so much of this stuff if it does this to you? Dad, do you think America's the only place in the world? Dad, do you think that Jesus is going to let his church collapse? In other words, you're not going to try to dispute his negativity. You're going to just ask him some very pointed questions about what he's doing to himself. Dad, do you like being this unhappy?
Well, I don't see any reason why you should be happy given everything that's gone on.
You think the news media is going to report good stuff? But, I'll tell you, I would not immerse myself in his negativity. I wouldn't. I would not try to talk him out of being negative. I would just sort of look at him when he's complaining and try to think of a decent question that goes right at the process of what he's doing to himself.
Okay.
Well, you know, the Pope, he confuses me.
Well, Dad.
That's another one.
Yeah, I know. Of course it is. Do you think the Holy Spirit put him in place? You're just not going to, well, you know, Dad, he's done this, and I just saw yesterday that the Pope said, and he was very orthodox when he said this. And it's, you won't get anywhere. He'll fire back at you. By the way, what you're seeing, Alexandra, I'm actually seeing in the office. I'm getting people in the office who have imbibed and absorbed so much of this stuff that they can't be happy.
Mm-hmm.
they have just surrendered their peace to this. I'm aware of this stuff because somewhat I have to be and somewhat I'm interested in it. But if it gets to the point where it starts to bring me down, I'm shutting it off. I do not want to be brought down by stuff that I can't control. Dad, right. Do you always get upset on things you can't control? Dad, what would happen if you just stop soaking in this stuff? That's it. Get skilled at that, my dear. It may not make any difference, but you're throwing down a few seeds for him to do a little self-assessment here. And by the way, I have seen and I have heard from friends whose fathers are in your dad's age range who are doing this.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're just convinced. We've never lived at a time. Think about this. And I said this morning to my wife. Most of human history, you only knew what was going on in your little tiny corner of existence. You didn't even know who the Pope was. You didn't know any of that stuff. You only knew the 100 or 200 people in your little circle, or maybe slightly larger, most of human history. Now, everything that's happening everywhere that is ugly and awful and terrible, which, by the way, the world has always been like that. Matter of fact, it's been a lot worse in many stages.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you could have been conquered by anybody and taken away as slaves, as sex slaves, anything. That's the way the world has operated. And when Christianity began, it was only a handful of them that went out into a pagan world. So I know that it's just so easy to lose perspective. But don't let that happen to you, dear. That's what I would say.
Oh, I won't.
All righty. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I don't mean to call you every week.
You can call me all the time.
You seem to have all the answers.
Not all. I'd say maybe 92.65%, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Not all. All would be kind of lack of humility. I can usually go with the 93% roughly, and that's pretty humble. Thanks, Alexandra. Right. Take good care, honey. All right.
You too.
Bye. All righty. Laura. Boy, there's all women up there that want to talk to me. They love me for my mind. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
Do you know there are two songs for you?
I've only heard one of them.
There's
a little depressing.
There's a beautiful song. It was probably written in the 40s. The song is just named Laura. Laura is the face in the misty light, footsteps that you hear down the hall at night. Yeah, it's a beautiful song. Look it up.
Oh.
Look it up.
I will.
A very nice song. So, okay, your question.
Yes. How do I suffer as a Christian and a Catholic and yet also seek healing while people around me, you know, close friends are telling me extremes. Some of them say, who are Protestants, say God doesn't will any Christians to suffer, which I don't believe. And that, you know, basically I shouldn't be suffering, which puts it on me to figure out how to get healed. And then other people say, no, just accept the suffering and stop going crazy trying to get better. And one of the biggest reasons I want to get better from, like, autoimmune type symptoms is that my young children, I have trouble taking care of them because I have days that I feel so ill. It seems right to pray for healing. And yet to accept whatever God gives, right? Like, I'm really discouraged today. Just had a friend over who was trying to tell me to stop worrying about getting better.
Well, in some respects, boy, it's going to sound funny coming from a shrink, but I would advise you to quit listening to all these people who have all their opinions.
True.
That's the first thing. Your head's going to get confused. But you said something I want to... Okay, in words of a... Oh, shoot! All right, stay right there. Don't leave me, Laura. You're the face in the misty light, footsteps that you hear down the hall at night. Talked about Laura being only a dream at the end of the song. Stay there. I'm going to talk some more. This is Dr. Ray. Thanks for joining me.
Family Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
It is really important to make time for silence or to listen to peaceful music within that silence if it helps you pray, which it does me. And how interesting that scripture is filled with different reminders about silence. And the natural law shows us that what, once again, scripture is telling us is absolutely true. For example, according to health experts, silence may help you in several ways, including lowering your blood pressure, improving concentration and focus, calming racing thoughts, and stimulating brain growth. Our Blessed Mother knew this. We see this in scripture repeatedly, and Mary pondered this in her heart.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
60 on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The Seventh Commandment, you shall not steal. The Seventh Commandment forbids theft, that is, unjustly taking or keeping another's property against the reasonable will of the owner. It also prohibits deliberate retention of goods, lent, or of objects lost. It prohibits business fraud, paying unjust wages, forcing up prices, and taking advantage of the ignorance or the hardship of another person. It prohibits the appropriation and use for private purposes of common goods. Also, work poorly done, tax evasion, forgery of checks, invoices, excessive expenses, and waste. Under the Seventh Commandment is also tucked our social justice teachings, because if I have two coats, one of them belongs to the poor, and I reasonably ought to give what belongs to them, because God gave all the goods of this world for all the people of this world.
For more about the Ten Commandments, visit EWTNRC.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst. Search for the song Laura, who is the name of the young lady who is speaking to me right now. Laura, are you there?
I am still here.
All right, let me tell you about your song. 1945 was from a movie called Laura. It's been recorded. It was so popular, it's been recorded by 400 artists. Here's the words, because I used to sing this when I played at nightclubs. Laura is the face in the misty light, footsteps that you hear down the hall. The laugh that floats on the summer night that you can never quite recall. And you see Laura on a train that is passing through. Those eyes, how familiar they seem. She gave your very first kiss to you. That was Laura. But she's only a dream. Huh? Pretty good, huh?
Aww.
That's a sweet song. And it's a very pretty song. All righty. Let's tackle what you're talking about. A little talk and tackling here. You said something interesting. Some of your Protestant friends said that God doesn't give you suffering. And you said, I don't agree with that. Well, it's been understood by the church that he doesn't. He doesn't will suffering on people. Okay. Mm-hmm. Suffering happens because of sin and because of a fallen world. God doesn't want anybody to suffer. But it does happen.
Right. He allows it.
He allows it. Yeah. Okay. Got that. That's true. And if anyone tells you, well, suffering is because you just aren't living right, or suffering is because you don't really know how to grab hold of faith healing, they're wrong. So I just ignore them.
Yeah.
Stuff happens. People get sick. They hurt. And it affects others. That does happen. It is certainly not wrong at all, because Jesus gives you the model, that you can pray for healing. Of course, you can pray for healing. But maybe add on to the end of that prayer something along the lines of, God, your will be done, but give me the strength to accept whatever your will is. Mm-hmm. That's big. Then the other thing is this, and this is, I got a feeling this is probably tormenting you more than your autoimmune. And that is, you think somehow I'm going to shortchange my kids. They're going to have a deficient mother.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Well, I'm telling you, your feeling is wrong. That may be how you feel, dear. But your motherhood is based upon your love, your presence. And yeah, maybe you can't always go outside and swing on the swings with them. Okay. But there's so much else. There's nothing wrong with you sitting on the couch and cuddling that little kid. It doesn't take a whole lot of energy. And if you say to yourself, yeah, but sometimes I'm in bed because I'm just so exhausted. Well, you tell the kids, honey, mommy's not feeling real good, but as soon as I am, I'll be back around. And that's a wonderful gift you'll give them. Your kids are not going to be shortchanged because you didn't reach up to some peak motherhood that you defined in your mind. Your kids are going to see their mama, and you know what they're going to get from their mama? They're going to get from their mama, as they get older, that she has been working with this illness, and despite that, she's put them first. Despite that. You realize what a message that is? You're silent.
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question? My son was talking to me just right when you asked that question.
Now, see that? You're ignoring your son. You're a terrible mother.
He's right here with me.
Do you realize what a powerful message that is, Laura? That you are doing for them what you can do, given what you've been struggling with.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You're not shortchanging them because you can't be 100% healthy. Man, if that were the case, I'll tell you what. There's an awful lot of people out there who are shortchanging their kids, and they're in perfect health. It's not a matter of health that makes a wonderful mother.
Yeah.
Now, I hope, there for a moment, you were silent. And I hope it was not because I said something stupid. I was hoping it was because I said something so sensitive. That's it.
No, it really speaks to me. I appreciate it because that is kind of the crux of the matter.
Oh, yeah.
Can
don't
I even
do that. No!
You know, fulfill my vocation?
No, of course you can. Of course you can. You got so much to offer. You don't have to always get down on the ground and play with them. You don't have to always do something actively with them. Not at all. Your motherhood is made of a whole lot of different ways that you show them love. And don't think they won't see that. Alrighty, dear lady. God bless you. God strengthen you, okay?
Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. More than welcome. Carolyn! Carolyn, also from Missouri. That's Covenant Radio Turf. Wonderful, wonderful network within the umbrella of the EWTN network. Had the biggest response by far that we've ever had. The only one rivaled it was Buffalo, where we went to St. Louis to tape four tapings of Living Right with Dr. Ray, and those people either were very, very immersed in the functioning of their station, or they had no life whatsoever because they filled up our audience. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
No, your question's interesting here. You say it, and then I shall respond.
Okay. My question is really regarding teens specifically, and to what regard, as parents, they are forced to do good things. Now, I'm not talking about math. I've heard your analogy, and I've used it many times about, you know, brushing teeth and that kind of thing. Obviously, you know, the sacraments, but good things such as that fortify their faith, such as a retreat or a youth group, things that you know are solid, and they, you know, reject or they have these seemingly great excuses that I know are not true.
Well, you just made a very solid case. Carolyn, you just made a very solid case for these events that you think would be good for them. But the fact that you're doubting yourself has to be based, I think, on something similar to what you said about the mass. Now, you said, okay, Dr. A, I've heard you talk about this,
And, you know, forcing them to go to Mass is, you know, they're not going to grow up hating Mass because I made them go to Mass. But then you just said something related, which is, I think these other things are good things, but I'm hesitant to do them because of why, Carolyn?
And to put into context, to force them, but it's really, it's excuses I'm hearing from other parents. So
stay there.
Yeah.
Don't leave me. Don't leave me. It's kind of like I used to have to say when I'd date a girl in college, you know, and we were out eating and I'd get up to go to the bathroom. I'd say, don't leave me. Don't leave me.
How did the first community of believers in Jerusalem pray? The Catholic Catechism tells us that as Christ's disciples were gathered together on the first Pentecost, the Spirit of the promise was poured out on them. They were in one place, devoting themselves to prayer. The Holy Spirit came to teach the church, to recall for her everything Jesus said, and to form her in a life of prayer. The first community devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and prayers. This sequence is characteristic of church worship founded on apostolic faith, lived in charity, and nourished by the Eucharist. The faithful hear these prayers and read them in the Scriptures and make them their own, particularly the Psalms. Thus, the Holy Spirit keeps the memory of Jesus Christ alive in His church at prayer. He leads her to the fullness of truth. He also inspires new formulations to express the unfathomable mystery of Christ at work in His church. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
I repeat, I'm sure ad nauseum to the guys who are here, a line from Pope Benedict Emeritus now, who used to say over and over again, to be a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice, but the result of an event, an encounter, a meeting with the living God in the person of Jesus Christ. This and nothing less is what it means to be a Christian. So we said the new evangelization is new in ardor. That's a kind of old-fashioned word. What in the world is ardor? Ardor is zeal, fervor, passion. Are you passionate about Jesus? Passionate about Jesus. Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know Him?
The Doctor is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi will commence now. We assure you that this randomly selected program is one of Dr. Ray's least worst.
Very delighted to be with you. You folks, you just lift my spirits, believe it or not, when I get a chance to talk to you. And there are many that want to talk to you. So I'll be heading there. I just briefly was talking to Carolyn from Missouri, and she was making the point. She sees an awful lot of positives in having her older children go to things like retreats and maybe church events. And she doesn't struggle so much about making them go to Mass because she says, Dr. Ray, I know what you're saying about going to Mass. And you have to make kids do things they don't want to do sometimes. And why do we worry so much about Mass? But she seems to be worrying about sending them on these other events. Although Mass is a non-negotiable, but these things are negotiable. And Carolyn was just about to say part of what makes her self-doubt is hearing stuff from other parents. Carolyn, what is that stuff?
Oh, well, sorry, just to clarify, it's actually, I'm blessed. My daughter doesn't object. It's when I'm speaking with friends and, you know, they're describing to me that, you know, their children object. And I'm just not sure what to say back to them when they say, you know, they refuse and I can't force them. I don't want to force them. It's not right to force them. And I'm just not sure what to say back.
Well, I would say this to them. I would say, well, first of all, if you think it's good for them, why would you not do it because they don't want to? And then I would say, isn't there a whole bunch of other stuff you force them to do that they don't want? Like schoolwork? Like chores? Like eating right?
like going to bed at a certain time, you force your children to do all kinds of things. So why would you not force them into an experience that, one, they don't really know if they're going to be moved by it, and two, you know it's going to be good for them? It's the old, I don't want to force them because they'll get resentful and they'll puke up religion. I'll tell you what, that one reminds me of something that the demon-possessed man said in the movie Nefarious. He said, boy, we didn't even come up with that one. And that's a good one. That is a really good one. The old, if I force them to do these good things for their souls, they're going to be resentful. And I can't force them to do something they don't want to do. Why is it that only religious stuff comes under that umbrella? Everything else parents force. That's what I tell them. You force them to do all kinds of things. Why would the one thing you don't want them to do, that you don't want to force them, be religious?
Okay.
That's what I'd say.
Good advice. I appreciate it.
You are so welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, thank you, dear. That just boggles my mind. And I think this is a classic example. I've railed on this on this program so many times that the experts have got your head spinning. That you are not allowed as parents to have your children participate in things they might not want to participate in initially anyway, because somehow, some way, it's going to have psychological reverberations and ill effects. What a wonderful way to stop you from doing good things for your kids' souls. Oh. All right, there's so many good calls up there. Greg is ill. No, Greg is from Illinois. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Dr. Ray. Appreciate you on your program.
Well, Greg, I want to give the Lord credit. How's that?
Well, that's precisely my conundrum. Dr. Ray, I'm that old guy. I'm really grateful for, you know, my youth where attendance was mandatory in the Boy Scouts. And whether I liked it or not, it gave me some character and some morals that were really deeply ingrained. And regardless of my attitudes and what have you, it stuck to me like glue on how I was supposed to treat people. And my current problem is I'm not good at psychology. And now that I'm old, disabled, and retired, I have spare time to be of service to the community, to people in my life. And, you know, it's apparent to a lot of people, hey, I'm a good guy. You know, I like to serve others. And not too infrequently, I'm kind of asked, you know, what's my motivation? You know, why do I serve like this? Especially, you know, when at times it's painful and even physically difficult. And maybe being that old guy, I'm quick and to the point to say I do it because the Lord asked me to. He said to love others and serve them in His name.
Well, that's a great answer.
Unfortunately, as you know, with our current society, maybe it was always that way. I'm not going to say it was better, because during the 70s, the hippie culture really permeated. To see the look on their faces, you know, they don't even have to say anything.
That's okay.
The outward body change, the look on their face.
Who cares? Who cares? You know what you do? When you drive home, you say, Lord, thank you for allowing me to get grief because I mentioned your name.
Well, I'm happy to suffer in that way, and it's pretty obvious.
Ah, that ain't suffering. Greg, that ain't suffering. That's a minor inconvenience.
Look at what the Apostle Paul had to go through,
and
if his grace was sufficient for Paul, it's good for me.
I think it's wonderful what you're doing, and I'll tell you why. Because there are those who are going to see what you do, and they're going to say, here's a man who lives what he believes. And there will be those who will appreciate it, and there will be others who look at you like, yeah, well, that's not the answer I was looking for. Boy, what are you, some kind of weirdo? But they can't deny your helpfulness. So I think your response is a wonderful answer. And if there are those who think you're a bit of a weirdo for giving credit somewhere else than yourself, so be it.
Well, I suppose I would probably be looking for some neat way to psychologically manipulate people into accepting my answer.
Take it from me. Take it from me. There's a lot of things you say, especially nowadays, about religion that people completely misunderstand. Our Lord said, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Rejoice and be glad when they slander and utter all kinds of things against you because of me. Your reward will be great. There it is, Greg. You could even do this. You want to freak them out totally? You could say this. I wouldn't advise it, but you could. I'd say, well, thank you. Thank you so much for giving me that weird look because I'm glad to do it for my Savior. then they'll think you're a real nutcase.
Absolutely. God bless. Praise God.
God bless, my friend. You take good care. Judy from Boston. Now, I know I'm going to pass break on this, and Andrew's going to point this out to me, but if our previous caller's listening, sweet lady called, and she was worried because of her autoimmune condition. She thought that it might not make her the mom she could be, and Judy wants to offer a personal testament about this. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Dr. Ray. I just felt so bad.
For Laura?
Yes. And I wanted to just back up what you said, just so there's not one little piece of her that might be saying, well, that's just what a nice man like Dr. Ray would say.
Oh, I've never been accused of being a nice man. Stop that, Judy. Just stop that right now.
I just want to say some experience. I was born in the 60s, and I was an only child, and I had the most wonderful mother. I wouldn't have traded her for anything. She did have some physical disabilities, and they never actually, even in those days, got to the bottom of what it was caused by, so we didn't know what was going on. So, but she was there through all the ups and downs. She taught me in the faith. She gave me life skills. And we were able to do some trips at different times, and then there were other times that she wasn't able to be active. But my goodness, I mean, even now when I make a meal, I think of how when I was at a very young age, she was teaching me how to cook, how to clean, how to do financial activities. And, you know, I do what I do today from what she taught me, my faith. Oh, and here's the other thing. I have vivid memories of her later on sitting in a wheelchair at the kitchen table with a stack of prayers in front of her. And then later when I had adversity in my own life, I just somehow had assimilated that this is what we do. This is what we do as women. This is what we do as Catholics. This is what we do when we are faced with adversity. We turn to the Lord, you know, and I saw her cry and I saw her pray. And so I think a lot of it is just caught more than taught. But please don't ever discount the beauty of you. God gave you those children, not anybody else. He gave them to you as you are.
Well, Judy, you know, that is certainly a lot more close to the experience of Laura than anything that this nice man on the radio could say. You know that. So thank you. Thank you for calling. I sure hope Laura was still listening. Thanks, Judy.
And I'm going to add her to my rosary and all the other mothers that are facing similar doubts.
Sweet. Thank you. This is Dr. Ray.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
You're listening to The Least Worst Of The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. So please, no calls at this time.
Sander has been phenomenally patient, and there are those that I may not get to, so please, the rule in this program is anytime you call back in a future show, your first stop, because you were on the show at the end of the program. Sander from Texas, daughter started middle school. A boy from her school likes the daughter, and they went on a date. Now, middle school is 7th, 8th, and 9th, as far as I know, but it varies from state to state. Under her supervision and the boy's mother's supervision. And Sandra says, yeah, is that a little too young? And then she said, what about a smartphone? Hi, Sandra.
Yes. Well, I'm not planning to give her one, but now she's kind of getting to get one so that way she can get in contact with the boy because the boy has one. What worries me is the fact that, you know, they're still going to the same school, but and I don't know how to deal with this situation.
Sandra, how old is your daughter, dear?
11. She will be 12 in December.
And you thought it was okay to let an 11-year-old go on a date, even with supervision?
Well, the boy's mom approached me. She works at the school that my daughter attends. And it was her idea to do all this kind of thing.
Did you agree with that?
It was more like a friend, spending time like a friend. Not that I agree on dating.
And well, you say it was a friend, but she now wants a smartphone. She's pushing hard at age 11 because she wants to be able to talk to this boy, correct?
Well, she wants to be in touch with him. She's not pushing that much the idea of the phone. And that's where I don't know, like, should I let them to continue?
I think, again, it's your daughter. It's your daughter. I will tell you my experience. When you open up this kind of opposite sex contact early on, it grows. It grows much more strongly. There was a survey done. This was a while back, and this was back when kids still dated, that if a child has a first date between the ages of, I think it was 10 and 12, they had a 90% chance of being sexually active senior year. First date 12 to 14, 50%, and first date 16, 20%. So it's a natural progression that there's a certain amount of opposite sex interest that's going to happen. That's routine. I had all kinds of crushes on girls when I was in the sixth grade. But in terms of allowing this to progress into, okay, this person's going to become central in my life, or this person is going to be my boyfriend, or this person is going to be somebody that I really like, or in my mind I love, opens up a lot of complications, a whole lot of complications. And if you were asking me about a smartphone at age 11, I would say no, but I am controlling myself because normally I would want to scream no, because virtually every parent that I've dealt with who has given a smartphone at age 11, 12, and 13 has had serious problems. Not only with wrong behavior, but with changing of the child's personality. All kinds of research is coming out now that social media is really bad for kids.
Yeah, and I agree. She doesn't have a phone, and she's not on the screen that much, and I know what she's looking at because, you know, she does it here at home when I'm here, and she doesn't know the passwords to the computers and all of that.
My dear, I'm going to have to let you go because I just got the 30-second warning. If you can call me back, I have a book that might help you. It's called Raising Upright Kids in an Upside-Down World. It talks about all the shaping problems of dating and phones and computers and media. It's on my website. This is Dr. Ray. I got to run. Thank you so much for joining me. Walk with God. Be at peace.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.